I'd like to share with you some thoughts out of the book of Daniel this evening. So if you'll open with me, please, to Daniel chapter 3. And as you look there, I'm going to give you a little update on our ministry there. When we first went to Brazil in 1995, we went to work with my parents in the state of Minas Gerais, the city called Saint Sebastian of Paradise, or in Portuguese, São Sebastião do Paraíso. And we worked with him in a church that he started where my wife was saved. We worked in the Awana program with the children's. We worked in the camp ministry that we had as well. Had a Bible Institute. God just blessed the work there. We also started two other churches in another neighborhood and one in a nearby city named Jacuí. So we ministered there in the state of Minas Gerais for about 8 years. And then in 2003, God led us further south Brazil to the state of Santa Catarina. Santa Catarina is the next to the last state in the country, just before Rio Grande do Sul. And so we're there in Santa Catarina in the city called Joinville. It's a city of 600,000 people. It's the largest city in the state of Santa Catarina. It's over near the coast. And it's a big city. It's spread out. It has about 43 neighborhoods. And each one of these neighborhoods is kind of like a small city. They're sort of independent in that they have all that they need inside that neighborhood. The grocery stores, the gas stations, the banking. And so each one is sort of a small city inside of the bigger metropolitan area. And so God's led me to start as many churches in that city as He'll allow me. He'll give me strength and allow me to be there. I want to start as many churches as we can. In 2003, we started the Victory Baptist Church in one of the neighborhoods there, and God blessed and brought in a young man, a Brazilian young man, Ricardo, and his wife Monica, and we trained them and put them in Bible college and worked with them, and now he is the pastor of Victory Baptist Church and ordained him, and they called him as their pastor. And my brother now, Scott, and Donna, his wife, and Elizabeth, they're missionaries in Brazil as well since 2013. He came and worked with me for a year before we turned the work over. And then in 2014, we helped him start the second church, a Solid Rock Baptist Church in another neighborhood. And God is blessing the work there as well. People have been saved, excited about the ministry there. And we worked with him just shortly before we came home on furlough in May of this year. And we're here now on furlough, and we'll be back in Brazil, Lord willing, in May of next year. The first week of May, we should be going back, just before the second anniversary of Solid Rock Baptist Church there. And we'll be starting a new work as soon as the Lord gives us the go-ahead. Amen? There's a lot of work that needs to be done there, a lot of neighborhoods that need to be reached. So I ask that you pray for us as we go back to the city of Joinville and reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Soraya said, there's religion. They have religion, plenty of it. There's a big movement in Brazil, the you ever heard of the prosperity gospel? Yeah, it's grown phenomenally in it's mainly the bigger cities. It's grown so big, and a lot of confusion. And so we ask that you pray for us as we go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, of salvation. And so I need your prayers. Go by our display back there. Get one of our prayer cards, please, and place it somewhere where you see it often and pray for us. We need your prayers. Amen. Pray for our son Matthew. Let me say that one more time. Pray for our son Matthew, please. So Daniel chapter 3. Let's look at verses 14 through 17. I'm getting hit here. Let's see. Put it down maybe. Is that better? All right. Could we stand, please, those who can, just in honor of God's word here. Daniel chapter 3. Just some thoughts on unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. Verse 14 through 17. The Bible says, "And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music,
ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. I want to talk to you tonight just for a few moments about unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the day that I trusted you as my Savior. I'm so thankful for those who went and preached the gospel to me. I'm thankful, Lord God, for this church. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. I pray, God, that you'll use your word to speak to our hearts tonight. Have your will and way. I don't know anything about anyone in this building, Lord, except for my family. And I pray, God, that you will have your will in our lives today through the preaching of the Word of God. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray with thankfulness. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we read the Word of God, we will find historic accounts when, through faith, miraculous deliverances occurred by the hand of our mighty God. These are moments when the supernatural power of God changed the course of human events to protect one of his faithful servants or to provide for them. And here we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is one of those moments of great deliverance that we find in Scripture. All of you know the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he built a large statue. And when everyone was gathered together, and he said, listen, when the music starts to play, all the people were to fall down upon their knees and begin to worship that false image. And so the music played, the people bowed except for three, amen? Three men did not bow. Now, they refused to obey the law of the land because it went against God. Isn't that an interesting concept, amen? They refused to do what that man said because they served the living God. And their faith in their God was about to be tested to the extreme. It was imminent that they were going to be tested here. The king said, listen, is it on purpose that you don't bow down to my God? And if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you into the burning fiery furnace. And this furnace was heated 7 times more than normal for them to be thrown inside of it. And then notice what they answered to the king in verse 16 and 17. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they're saying, we are not worried about this. Amen. We're not worried about answering you in this matter. He said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So two things that we see here quickly. They believed in God's ability to deliver. Amen. They believed in God's ability to deliver, as well as the power to perform that deliverance. They believed that God was able to deliver them out of the fiery furnace and out of the hand of the king. Now, as we think of these three men, And think of all out through Scripture, we realize that the Christian life is much more than a tradition. I don't just follow a Christian tradition, amen? It's a life of faith in a faithful God. It's a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our faith in God many times is tested. It's tried. And it should be strengthened through trials, through tribulation, through suffering. Many times it should be strengthened and made stronger. And come what may, it should be unshakable. Amen? Unwavering and unshakable should be our faith. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says in James 1, verses 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So our faith many times is tried and tested throughout our Christian life. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute and look at some things there in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll come back to Daniel 3. Just a few things I'd like to point out here. Over at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Our faith in a faithful God. It's impossible to please him without faith. Our faith should be unshakable, unwavering. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us many examples of unwavering faith. Men and women who trusted God through their suffering, through their predicaments, through their problems. And God gave great deliverance through the faith of these men. And by faith we saw great miracles being accomplished in the life of these faithful servants of God. First one that we look at here is Noah. There in verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So Noah received great deliverance, for he trusted in God. Imagine, he received the instructions from God to make an ark because it was going to rain so much and the depths were going to break up and it was going to cover the earth. Now, I believe that that truly happened. Amen? Amen. The Bible says it happened. I believe it happened. Amen. How about you? And he built an ark, and it never had rained until that point. It never had rained. And God says it's going to rain. And he built the ark. And for the salvation of his family, we see how he received great deliverance for his faith and obedience in God. And then we see also there in verses 8 through 10, Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his homeland. He said, "I'm going to give you a new land. It's a strange land." He went and he obeyed God and followed the leading of the Lord in the direction God gave him to go. We see also there in verse 11 that Sarah, she gave birth to a child named Isaac in her old age. That's a great deliverance, a great blessing given to her by faith. We see also Abraham again in verses 17 and 18, who by faith offered up that son Isaac, the one who was supposed to bring about his whole descendants. And he obeyed God's leadership and offered him up and received deliverance by faith. We see later on there in verse 23 in Hebrews 11, Moses. Moses, who was by faith hidden by his parents and received great deliverance. We see also that Moses later chose the path that was correct in his life. He was greatly used of God. We see that he was used to bring out the people of Israel from Egypt. He was used to take them across the Red Sea. And the Bible says, upon dry land, amen. As they fled, they walked across the Red Sea upon dry land. We see also that a great deliverance happened right after that when they got to the other side. The Egyptian army, the greatest army of that time, went after them. And God just closed the water upon all of those and killed them all. And they saw the bodies on the seashore there. Isn't that amazing? Great deliverance by faith. We see how God does great things and wondrous things by faith. And the record continues there, verse 30 and 31 of Hebrews 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So how did the walls of Jericho fall down? By faith. Amen. It wasn't by a bomb. Amen. They didn't set C4 on there and blow it up. They didn't take a chisel and hammer to it. The Bible says by faith, those walls came down. Amen. Now, can you see how powerful this thing of faith is in giving great deliverance and transforming lives and doing wonders? And by faith, the Jericho's walls were fell down. And then we see also that by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. By faith. Amen. By faith. And it continues also in verse 32. Let's continue on to about 35 there. It says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David." We look at David for a minute. The Bible shows us that David, he was by faith delivered from a lion. Killed him with his bare hands. Amen. And the bear. Remember the bear? And what about that giant named Goliath? Amen. We see by faith great deliverances in the life of David as well. And then he talks about Samuel and of the prophets. I think of Daniel. Daniel was, he received great deliverance from the den full of lions. Hungry lions. Amen. How do you know they were hungry? Well, the next day when the men who accused Daniel were thrown into the den of lions, it says they tore them to pieces before they hit the ground. Amen? So yeah, they were hungry. But God delivered Daniel from their mouths. Amen? And verse 33, who through faith... Now these are great deliverances that we're reading about. Wonderful, miraculous deliverances by faith. So by faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the enemies of the aliens. Of course, that's not aliens from outer space. Amen? All right, thank you. Women received their dead raised to life again. What deliverance. Can you imagine the women receiving back to life their men? Isn't that amazing? What a great deliverance. And boy, we love to preach about all that, don't we? Amen. How God delivers and the wonderful things that he does and the great miracles through faith. Great accounts of deliverance through faith. I love to read about them. Amen. And then we get to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego again here. Let's go back to Daniel 3. Well, the music played, and they didn't bow, amen? They continued unwavering, trusting God by faith, and the Bible says that they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And then verse 23, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. Now listen, I don't know what kind of Bible you have over there, but that says Son of God. Okay, yes, capital S and capital G. It's not the sons of gods. You know, with the little S and little G over there. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus walking around with those men in the burning fiery furnace? Before Jesus even came to earth. Amen. Hallelujah. He took a walk with them inside the burning fiery furnace. See, that's amazing to me. You know, I think many times we get so used to the Word of God and we get so calloused by hearing preaching that we forget that, man, that's amazing. It's amazing to think that Jesus took a walk with these men in that furnace that day. Amen? Loosed them. Took away their bonds and walked around in there. That's just amazing. Showing himself here to these men. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Amen. Remember, he said, who is the God who can deliver you from me? Now he's saying, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now, I like to barbecue, amen. Brother Kelly's had barbecue with me down at my house. And it's not like, we don't have a stainless steel barbecue thing, you know, that looks like a Porsche or something. Sometimes we have just a little chimney built with bricks, and there's a hole in the middle there, and you put your grill inside there. Man, that's the best thing ever invented by man, amen. And we use charcoal, eucalyptus charcoal. And you throw it in there, and of course I take about a liter of alcohol and pour it on top of it, you know. And I stand back, take my match, and when I throw my match in there, boom! My hair already smells like smoke, amen? What's not burnt off? But my entire clothes, my shirt, my pants, everything stinks smoke. Just from lighting that match, just from lighting those charcoals. These guys were inside the burning fiery furnace walking around, and when they come out, they didn't have the smell of smoke on their clothes. That's amazing. Now, you believe that really happened? I do. I mean, the Bible says it happened that way, amen? And so their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. That's amazing to me. Now, remember what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had said to Nebuchadnezzar. Let's read that again in verses 16 and 17. We're getting close to the end here. It's already, oh my goodness. That clock right, it says 2 minutes till 7. And we're thinking about food already, amen? Some of y'all are really carnal. I was talking about it, amen? But verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So they made it clear that they trusted in God. They made it clear that they believed that he had the ability to deliver them, the power to make it happen. He would. They said he will. Amen. But then we get to verse 18 and we read three little words, and I'm sure you've read it so many times. You've heard preaching on it. I'm sure. I'm not telling you anything new today. But I'm telling you, when I saw this for the first time in my life, it changed me. Isn't the Word of God supposed to change us? You know, well, when I read this passage and it dawned on me and it made sense to me, it changed me. You know, it kept me on the mission field. That's right. It kept me going. Because they said three little words here that one might look at and think to himself, well, that was lack of faith. That's not the way I see it, amen. What's the three words? But if not. I mean, they had just declared, amen? They had just declared that God can. And he will. They declared it. God can and he will deliver us. And then they said, but if not. You ever thought about that? You see, now that's faith. That is faith. When you understand that God not only has the ability to deliver and the power to perform the deliverance, but he also has a perfect plan and purpose in everything we go through. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? How we can see that God knows what he's doing. Amen. These men decided that, hey, we're going to trust God completely. And that's what it takes, my friend. It takes trusting God completely. See, how can you be a missionary in Brazil? How can you leave America? You know, everything that you love. I love my family. You know, mom and dad, they're missionaries in Brazil for 33 and a half years, but they're here in the States now. They travel and they go to Brazil occasionally. They go to Portugal sometimes to relieve missionaries from maybe 3 months. They need to come home on medical leave or something. He does ministry like that, and he helps churches that are struggling even here in the States. And so when I go back to Brazil, mom and dad stay here. I love mom and dad. I love my sisters, my brothers. I have a younger brother named Andrew, who about 28 days before we came home on furlough, his wife took a gun and blew her brains out. I understand that. I love my brother. So when I'm over here, I take as much time as I can, and I spend it with my brother. When we go to the mountains on motorcycles, I know I don't look much like a motorcycle rider, but but I am. I love it. I'm one of those Japanese kind of motorcycles, you know, where you can go around the curve. Well, I won't say anything about that, but I like to spend time with him. I like to spend time with my sisters and my brothers, my family, my home church, my pastor, Brother Derek Lawrence. What a great man. Victory Baptist Church, Loganville, Georgia. What a blessing. The folks at our mission board at Macedonia. I love that. I love to spend time with Brother Kelly. This has been a blessing up here these days. But you know what? God's called me to Brazil. And I'm trusting him with all of that. Have been. For 24 years since we've been with Macedonia. We went on deputation. We had $200 support and our car payment was $198. You do the math, right? That was $2. We had $2 to put gas in the car. Good thing it was a little Ford, you know, a little bitty escort wagon. Got us going everywhere. Trusting God. Amen. Trusting God. I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go really quickly. I'm trying to finish up as quick as I can here. Hebrews 11 verse 35 down to 40. The Bible says, women receive their dead raised to life again. What a great deliverance, huh? Receive your dead from life. And then he said, and others. Have you ever heard about the others? They were what? Tickled? No, that doesn't say tickled. It says they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. I mean, they were sawn into pieces. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. I mean, we just read earlier that they were delivered from the sword, right? They had great victories. They won the battles. But here they're talking about the same faith. Amen? Trusting in the same God. But they were sawn asunder. They were killed by the sword, slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Can you say amen to that? They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Well, these all. They all obtained a good report through faith. Not just the ones who received the deliverance, amen, but the ones who trusted until death even. That's a good report. That's a good report. You think about it. They didn't accept the deliverance. They suffered. They suffered cruel trials, mockings, scourgings. They were bound. They were imprisoned and stoned and sawn asunder and all of that that we just read. Verse 13 through 16 of Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith. Amen? Some earlier than others. Right? But they all received a good report by faith. And then Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these men and women who by faith, some receiving deliverance and others not. Amen? We should look to them. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses that live by faith. And their testimony of faith, it must change our lives. That's what he says here. Let us, when we look at that, let us lay aside every weight. What's keeping you from serving God completely, huh? What's keeping you from giving your life to God completely, from trusting Him completely with everything? The but if not situations in your life. What's keeping you from trusting Him completely? He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience and perseverance, amen, and continuing and not giving up, but going forward the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Is that amazing? That we must consider Jesus Christ. Now, what happened in his life? He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Consider this, lest ye be wearied and faint. He endured the cross. You see, I believe Jesus went to the cross voluntarily. Amen. But I also believe that the Bible shows us that he prayed three times. Remember that? He prayed three times. God, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, if there's any other way, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's what he said. Not what I want, but what you want. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Have you ever prayed great drops of blood? I've never prayed great drops of blood. I pray until I sweat. But I've never prayed like he prayed that day. And you realize what he's praying about. But he went to the cross nonetheless. Because he loves you, loves me, loves Soraya. Loves everyone in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he went to the cross. Amen? He endured the cross. Sometimes we don't understand the trial that we're going through. We don't understand the situation, the suffering, the fiery furnace, the den of lions. We don't understand the things that we go through. But you know what? We have a faithful God who knows what he's doing. There's not a time when he doesn't. Amen? He's on the throne, the Bible says. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. Imagine that. There's been some times in our lives, ministering and as missionaries, that what is God doing here? What does he want? When we first started out, my wife became pregnant with twins. We were in Bible college at the time, preparing to go back to Brazil. And just the long story short, we prayed for deliverance. We prayed for those twins. We prayed that God would let us bring them home. We were excited. Amen? Imagine. But Sabrina and Melissa were born a little bit premature. And Melissa lived 17 and a half hours. Took her last breath as my wife held her. And our family around in that hospital room praying. My mom and dad, servants of God, people around the world praying that God would deliver. And that our little girl took her last breath. First piece of property I ever bought, Loganville, Georgia. Corinth Christian Church Cemetery. Young couple. We had Matthew. And then the twins. Preparing to go to the mission field, brother. Busy at our church. Bus ministry, children's church, doing the work. Going to Bible college at night, working a job during the day. I wasn't sitting around doing nothing. We were busy. But our daughter took her last breath after 17 and a half hours. And then Sabrina, she stayed in the hospital for another 2.5 months. And we prayed earnestly with faith, my parents, all of our friends and family, praying that God would let us take her home. But after 2.5 months, she also passed away. So we lost our twins. Now what? Do we continue serving God? Do we go to Brazil as a missionary? Do we continue? Of course, amen. Because God has a perfect purpose and plan. I don't quite understand it, but I trust him. Because I know that he knows what he's doing. Amen. We've seen people come to Christ through that testimony. Timothy came to the Lord as Savior. He's my son's. My brother's son, Timothy, during that time, he trusted Christ as his Savior. One soul is worth it. Amen? And then God gave us Priscilla. What a blessing. Amen? Wow. And then in 2003, when we moved to Joinville, I already knew I had a physical problem. I needed to check it out when I came home on furlough in 2003. We started the church. My dad was working with us there. So I came home on furlough, and he stayed on there in Joinville while we were home on furlough. I found out I had testicular cancer. First, I'd never heard of that. I didn't know that existed. But, you know, 400 men die every year in America of testicular cancer. My brother said, you know, that's not too many. I said, it's too many when you're one of them. Amen. Whew. Lord have mercy. And just a long story short, we prayed. We prayed in faith. We trusted God, and here I am. Amen. I mean, the last test I did was, goodness, I think 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and there wasn't even any scar tissue. You know, testicular cancer goes through it starts down, of course, you know, where it says. Then it goes to your abdomens, then it goes to your lungs, and then your brain. Well, they found out that mine skipped my abdomen, went straight to my lungs, and possibly my brain. I guess that's why I'm the way I am, you know. But it showed up, 2 spots on both sides, about the size of a quarter. And so we did chemotherapy. But before we went into chemotherapy, we gathered our church members, the men of our church, the pastor, and we went in the office, and they prayed over me, and we trusted God. Doctor said there's a 98% chance of cure, and we said, well, God said it's 100%, amen. So we trusted him. And so we were able to go back to the field, start the church, and work in that ministry there, and here we are. So what's the difference? You know, same faith. Like the men and women in Hebrews 11, same faith, just different outcome. Now, why is that? Now, we don't like to preach about that too much, do we? Because we like to say that God can and He will, amen? And that's what's wrong with this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that's being preached around the world. They say that everything's going to be all right. And then the first time somebody starts suffering, they die of cancer, or they lose their house, or they have a car accident, you know, they leave the church.
That's right.
Because they're up there telling them that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you.
Yeah.
That's not the truth.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you the truth tonight.
Right. Amen.
Amen. We are going to suffer in this life. We are not home. Amen? And while we're not home, we may as well just stay busy and serve God and do His will. So what about you? Are you trusting God completely? Can you say, God can and He will, but if not, I'm going to trust Him anyway. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? We're finished up here.